This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Self will. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How is our Old Testament reading for this morning related to the church's celebration of Pentecost? Well, as we just heard, our first scripture reading this morning is about the building of the Tower of Babel. It has been called a story of human stupidity brought about by pride. We have to remember that this was early in the history of the world, when the population was relatively low, and people had learned a new technology, the making of bricks and concrete. Now, we have to understand that unlike the people living in Palestine or Israel, they have natural stone everywhere they use for relatively small houses. The people of Mesopotamia had very little natural stone in their region, and you had to be very rich to have that stone imported. So what they did was they developed high-quality bricks so they could build larger structures. The Roman did the same thing, and we still have trouble understanding how some of their structures have lasted so long. And so they found a great plain where they could live called Shinar, ancient Babylon, and decided to build a great tower there. They believed they could build a tower without any limits, a tower that could reach up into the heavens. Remains of stepped pyramids called ziggurats still exist today in modern Iraq. So what was the purpose of this tower? Well, some commentators say it was perhaps to prove that there was no God watching over them after all. But I question whether or not that's a good interpretation. Because you see, in Babylonian mythology, man attempted, apart from divine approval, to gather together, and they wanted to control the access between heaven and earth. Man was attempting to bring heaven in line with earth. And along with this trespassing of pretending to be God, of trespassing these divine boundaries, was the Babylonian invention of what we call astrology, looking to the stars to control the future. And later on in the Bible, God tells the Israelites, when they were being invaded, stop calling out to me, call out to the stars you always pray to, and see if they're going to save you or not. So with sharp irony, Scripture says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. Their tower had not reached even close to heaven or the outer atmosphere at all, and God had to come down and to see it. And it's interesting, the words here, let us go down, in Hebrew is plural, pointing to the Holy Trinity. The whole purpose of this tower was that they would be together, unified by one great religious achievement, all of mankind, one world order, one religion. They had one common language. They did not want to be scattered like God told them to. They wanted to build an empire. And to do that, everyone had to come together and to work together to build this place to human arrogance and idolatry. But in the end, God reversed their plan and he scattered them all over the face of the earth. He confused them, we are told, by giving them different languages so they could not understand each other. They wanted to be independent of God, but God reminded them that that simply is not possible. The tower intended to bring people together was a tower that actually scattered people and drove them away from each other. Alienation from God always results in being alienated from other people. Now their language, instead of being the same, all sounded like babbling, thus the name Babel. It became known later as Babylon, a city associated with chaos and evil and idolatry all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So the story of the Tower of Babel falls directly after the story of the flood. God had brought the flood in Noah's day because of the rebellion of the human race and the resulting violence that covered the earth. So here we see the arrogance of mankind not only leads to gross stupidity, but to evil. And evil leads to the destruction of what makes you and I human beings in the image of God. In other words, we are a threat to ourselves. If you want to see the greatest threat to you, go look in a mirror because you're looking at it. Because God cares for us, he limits the evil that we are capable of. And we see this principle throughout Scripture. Language changes very rapidly. And it can be illustrated even in the simple example of texting. A long time ago, I used to be halfway decent in linguistics, but I have a hard time keeping up with text symbols. But today, our youth can send entire sentences using no letters whatsoever, just rapidly evolving symbols. But even text messaging is no match for trying to communicate with someone with whom you have a fundamental misunderstanding. I see it all the time. People talk past each other, and then someone gets offended. So words and language can become incomprehensible, since what you may mean by a word are not what the other person means. They would define that word differently. And then every word we define differently is filtered through our own baggage, our own past, our own emotion, and our own experiences. Never have we ever had in the history of the human race more means of communication, but I would argue that never has real communication ever been so difficult. In other words, aspects of the curse of the Tower of Babel are still with us today. However, the day of Pentecost addressed the Tower of Babel problem directly. The Tower of Babel had seen the proliferation of languages with resulting chaos and confusion and division of the human family. Pentecost, with its many languages, began to see people united through a common understanding. At Babel, God drove people apart in order to restrain human evil. At Pentecost, God brought people together to promote righteousness. The tower was a very clear symbol of man's rebellion against God. But Pentecost truly united people who were seeking the one true God, and the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and rested upon them. The people at the Tower of Babel wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to be remembered. They wanted a great legacy. Instead of hallowed be thy name, what they really lived by was hallowed be my name. May I be remembered forever. In contrast, the people at Pentecost simply wanted to glorify the name of God in Christ. After the Tower of Babel, people could no longer work together to create kingdoms for themselves in the same way. At Pentecost, people began to work together to bring about the establishment of God's kingdom here on earth. Babel was an imposition of human will. We'll get to this further in a moment. Pentecost was an acceptance of God's will. So Babel was bad news, Pentecost was good news. After Babel, people spread all over the earth in mutual alienation. It was pretty much every person, every tribe for themselves. But after Pentecost, the people spread willingly throughout the known world to serve God by spreading the good news and to promote a life of faith and love and fellowship. Babel was God's judgment on the people who tried their best to unite against him. Pentecost was God's blessing of bringing them together, people from every race and tribe and language to live as one underneath the one God. And so Pentecost is God ending the chaos and confusion of Babel and bringing about a new understanding within the context of the church. So the message of the people of Babel are, we are also gods. The message of the people of Pentecost was, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are now God's people. What Pentecost is saying is that God is not far away from us. And I can't tell you how many times I have people from the street I talk with saying that God's away from them or hiding, or where can I find God? This is the answer. You and I do not have to build some type of idolatrous astrological tower in our hearts to reach God. We don't have to, because God has already come down from heaven. We are told in Romans 10, the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I tell people that God is not hard to find at all unless you are the one moving away from him, which is usually the case. It was the case certainly with Adam and Eve, who were playing hide and seek after the fall. It wasn't God doing it. So is God against human wisdom, all this technological marvel? Of course not. God is the one who gives us science and medicine and these type of things. The problem is not the wisdom that God grants us. The problem is the arrogance and stupidity that often accompanies it. But there are not only differences, there are also similarities between Babel and Pentecost. At Babel, people came together to build a tower and one place to reach the heavens. And the Bible says in Acts 2:1, when Pentecost came, they were all together gathered in one place. But their purpose specifically was to get in touch with God. At Babel, they spoke one language, and God caused them to speak many languages. At Pentecost, they all spoke one primary language that would be Aramaic with a Galilean accent, but God caused them to understand and to speak many languages. At Babel, God came down to the people, and at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon God's people. And they are both scattered again with totally different purposes. That's the purpose of Pentecost. To give us the indwelling presence of God the Holy Spirit, who was always pointing to Jesus, never pointing to himself, so that you and I can learn to love and to live for the triune God. It gives us an entirely new purpose and orientation, and it changes chaos and confusion into understanding, to turn us from rebellion to love and to obedience to the power of the Holy Spirit. It also has the ability through the gospel to turn our despair into hope and to bring new love into our hearts that wants to reach out to God and to others. I'd like to come now to an interpretive point that's fairly important. I don't want to make too much of it, but I like to mention it. Over the years, I've heard many times that Pentecost is simply the curse of Babel reversed. I disagree. It's fine if you have that interpretation. Many do, but I don't quite see it. Some would say that this is simply a matter of semantics, but I think it's more than that. I would argue that technically, Babylon is not reversed, but rather Babylon is overcome and redeemed. The idea that Babylon is reversed goes something like this. This is what they say. I'm not saying it. They are. Because humanity, in its pride, sought to raise God to its level, God cursed them with multiple languages so they were scattered across the earth. But at Pentecost, everyone hears the gospel, and therefore the curse of Babel, the many tongues and ethnic diversities, is reversed. I believe that's a bit too simplistic, and the truth is much more deeper and richer than that. The truth is that God brought mankind from a forced unity to a multiplied diversity. A forced unity to a multiplied diversity. Well, what do I mean by that? I believe it's better to think of the Tower of Babel and the tower it attempted to build as a forced unity that was brought about by fear and enforced by tyrannical oppression. In the previous chapter, we had the great warlord Nimrod ruling over the people. Now, certainly the people wanted to make a name for themselves, a legacy, but they also feared God would disperse them across the face of the earth. But why is being dispersed so bad? Isn't that what God desired for humanity when he told humanity to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth? Fear has caused a rebellion against our human vocation to represent God throughout all the corners of the world. And instead of being representative of God throughout the world, those in Babel wanted to be with divinity in one place. They forgot the true God, and they make their own way to heaven the same way that sinners have done ever since. And this is where I think oppression comes in, and virtually all the commentaries, none of them mention this. I don't believe the tower was built voluntarily. I say that as a historian, and I've took a lot of archaeological courses as well. For example, think about the well-known examples of the Great Wall of China. Think about the ancient pyramids of Egypt. They were not built by happy volunteer citizens over centuries. People would not build towers like that for the fun of it back in the day, unless they had some tyrant forcing them to build it. And who was forced? Were the only people who can be forced, or would be an enslaved people? And what is the way used throughout human history to totally dominate and eradicate an enslaved people? Well, the method used is by destroying their native language and culture and forcing them all to speak your language. And I can give many examples for this. For example, after the Battle of Culloden in the 18th century in Scotland, the English banned the clan structure, all weapons, all tartans, all bagpipes, but most of all, they enforced rigorously the banning of the speaking of Gaelic, their native tongue. Why? They wanted to eradicate the Celtic identity of Scotland and bring it at one with Anglo-Saxon England. So when it comes to Babel, it's easy to imagine a place not only centered on human pride, but also a place of slave labor and exploitation that destroyed cultural diversity. When God comes down to see what is going on, God knows this situation will just increase human sinfulness. Therefore, he curses this with many languages to stop the work in its tracks. This curse, however, is also a hidden blessing, in that God is returning diversity to the world that had been under a false unity. So Pentecost, at least in my judgment, does not overcome the so-called curse of diversity. Diversity is not a curse. It does not overcome the so-called curse of many languages and cultures, as if all other cultures other than ours are inferior and bad. But rather, Pentecost overcomes the forced unity that springs from human sin. At Pentecost, we must remember that each person heard in their own language, not in one common language, not in some universal language. And so diversity is not reversed. Rather, each person from all 16 of these regions mentioned in Acts heard the word of God in their native tongue. At Pentecost, it is the divisions caused by our fallen fear and panic prejudice that is to overcome. It is the preaching of the gospel made possible at Pentecost that cultural diversity is affirmed and sinful divisions are overcome. There's more that could be said about the subject, but we are out of time. In closing, diversity is not the problem. Diversity is simply the expression and expansion of our creative humanity that is being made in God's image. The gospel is for all people and for all nations and for all races. It is not meant for tyrannical and racist rulers trying to bring us into a culturally uniform humanity. In other words, the word of God from beginning to end promotes unity, not uniformity. At Pentecost, God restored his mandate for mankind to multiply and to cover the earth so that in the end, people from every tribe and nation could come and worship the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Greg Cumbie. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.